hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked. There's no way out.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, this former wide receiver and new head coach at Aurora University. That's Don Beebe. Let me remind you about Don's background. He happens to be from Aurora, Illinois. He attended Caneland High School in Maple Park, Illinois, where he was a three-sport star, lettered in track, basketball, and football. Started out his college career at Western Illinois University, later transferred over to Chadron State College out in Nebraska, where he ran track and played football. Despite only being there for 1 year, he became the first person in school history to score a touchdown in every game. He was also the first to score 5 touchdowns in a game. He set the single-season record for most touchdowns in a season with 15, most points with 90, and most all-purpose yards for just shy of 1,700. In track, he set the NAIA District 11 record in the 60-yard dash. The Omaha Herald named him the 1989 State College Athlete of the Year. He was inducted into the Chadron State Athletic Hall of Fame back in 2000, and their renovated football stadium is now named in his honor. He was invited to the NFL Combine, where he ran a 4.440, fastest among wide receivers that year. He was a third-round pick of the Buffalo Bills, but happened to be their first pick in that draft in 1989. He played in the league from 89 to 97 for the Bills, Panthers, and the Packers. He was a part of the Packers Super Bowl 31 championship team. And like I mentioned, he is now head coach at Aurora University, led him to the playoffs this past season. And we are very honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Don, Chris, and Bob, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming
Hi,
on the show.
Hey, Happy New Year to you guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, fantastic.
Doing great, Don. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Don, I want to start by getting your thoughts on your first season as head coach there at Aurora. 9-1, a heck of a year. Got him into the playoffs. Talk about your first season.
Well, I must admit, I had the time of my life, after coaching high school football for 14 years. I took last year off. I wanted to go see my son play, and I have two daughters that were senior in high school and senior in college. I wanted to see them play their last year of volleyball. And then I got back into it this year with Aurora University, first time being in the college level. And I must admit, I had the time of my life.
As I look back through the season, Don, what a heck of a year. Again, 9-1, you get into the playoffs, you end up losing in the first round to a team that ended up going to the semifinals all the way to the Final Four in Division III. But it looks like from what I've seen from other teams in the rankings, I mean, you guys got left out of the top 25. You're sort of in the others mentioned category. Disappointed you guys didn't get a little more love to at least finish in the top 25?
No, I mean, that's expected. Historically, the conference that we play in has never won a playoff game. The conference has been around since 1986. When we went up to St. John to play them, we were a 40-point underdog. So nobody expected us to play with them, and we landed up losing 51-47. It was a very close game. But the postseason rankings came out. We actually did make the top 24, or our top 25, being the 24th team, which is the first time any team from our conference has ever been ranked since its inception. So we feel pretty good about going back into next year. We got pretty much everybody coming back, especially on the offensive side of the ball. We got our quarterback who threw for 57 touchdowns this year, and he was in the Gagliardi Trophy finalist. So he'll be a senior next year, so we're excited to have him back and put some players around him. I think we got a pretty good shot next year.
And Don, one of the things that we love about you, and along with a couple other of the great coaches that we've had the opportunity to have on the show, Willie Simmons at Florida A&M, is you have a priority to develop young men. You're teaching them football, but you're also teaching them about life and character. Talk about the importance of doing that.
Yeah, well, you know, I realized a long time ago that this sport's not about one individual person, and it certainly ain't about me. And I knew that as a player, and I was very fortunate and blessed to have some great coaches that taught me that in my early days and even throughout professional years with, Coach Levy. And then now that I became a coach, it's just, I want to find men of character, develop men of character. I know one day when it's all said and done and I stand before the Lord, he ain't going to say, hey, great job in all those wins. You know, what he is going to say is, you know, he put these young men in front of me. What did I do with them? And I think that'll never leave my focus as a coach. And I truly understand, at least I hope I do for the most part, what my true calling in life is, and that's mentoring young men through football.
Bob, questions for Don?
Great to have you back, Don. And tell us about plans for recruiting and your approach to it. And I know it's almost a year-round thing, but it must be hot and heavy starting in January.
Yeah, we lost in the playoffs to St. John, and literally on the ride home, I was on the phone. It's a recruiter, so it doesn't stop. I'm okay with that. I actually like the grind. I love the competitiveness and just the whole thing about just meeting young men and you know, like Chris said, just developing them. So it is a full-time job, just for the recruiting part. The number one thing, and I've been taught this, you know, I never forget this because last July, and I already knew the answer, but I was out to dinner with Coach Levy. He lives in Chicago, so me and my wife kind of head down there and get dinner with him at least once a year. And when I took the job at AU, I wanted to sit down with him and talk to him a little bit. And one of the questions I asked him, I said, you know, in building a college program, you know, how would you start that? You know, what would you look for and stuff like that? Already knowing the answer, he looked at me with one word and he said, character. He said, build it with character, Don. And I said, well, I figured you'd say that. So that's what I do. I mean, that's my number one objective when I look at a young man or I interview, basically, and sit him down and talk to him. You know, I just want to get to know the guy, and his background. And I always ask him about his high school coach. I mean, that's always an important question for me. You know, how do you like the high school coach? That answer tells me about that young man. Because if he didn't like him, let's say, I don't think you should ever burn a bridge or ever talk bad about anybody. That is a very important question and answer in that interview process.
And Don, you talked about the grind of coaching. We talk to Tony Reno of Yale every year. He gives us a kind of a good view of that because he has young children also. But as far as on a family and everything, we know that this job can turn into into 18-hour days at times, and it can be kind of crazy. There has to be a time where you kind of step back and you have to kind of think about your family and your health and kind of put your priorities in gear. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it can't be all about coaching 24, right?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I kind of did it a different way, you know, because that family to me, you know, I've always lived by the four F's, you know, faith, number one, hands down. You know, family, friends, and then football. Even as a player and certainly as a coach, I live by that. And so for me, I had opportunities right out of Green Bay when I retired to get into coaching at high level. And I just didn't feel like I wanted to do that. I had four small kids. I wanted to be around them. I wanted to, you know, because that was my most important role outside of being a husband to my wife, was being a father to my four kids. So I did. I started a business called House of Speed that trains athletes. I come and go as I please. I got into, like I said, high school coaching at Aurora Christian High School. I was a volunteer coach, but I was the head coach. Wasn't paid a dime. Just loved coaching kids. But it allowed me to be around my four children. And they all went to that high school. I was able to see them through the high school and coach and be a part of their lives. And then once I became an empty nester, and I went on to the college level. And there's no doubt it's a grind. I enjoy, like I said earlier, I enjoy the grind, but I know what's most important in my life, and that is my faith and then my family.
And Don, speaking of your children, how's your son Chad doing? I know he's on injured reserve, just had ankle surgery, I think, a little over a month ago. How's he doing?
Yeah, you know, and speaking of Chad, I mean, as a coach, I was fortunate to be able to coach him. And you know, sometimes, you know, fathers and their sons have problems, you know, in that we actually enjoyed it and embellished it. I enjoyed coaching him. He enjoyed me being his coach, and we were fortunate to win back-to-back state championships in 11 and 12 together. So I never walked off the field with him, you know, losing his senior year, which was kind of neat. But yeah, you're right. He's playing with the Vikings now, and that's an amazing story of never giving up and persevering through tough times and so many setbacks. It's just I told him he needs to write a book and he's only played 2 years. So, but with that being said, he had another injury. He tried to take on Burfict, the Raider from the linebacker from the Raiders, and he just ran him over and dislocated and tore all his ligaments in his inside of his ankle. And so they put him on IR, but he'll be back. You know, one thing I know about him, he is, I've never seen anything like him, to be honest with you. He just keeps coming back. So he'll be full speed probably sometime early this year and getting ready for next year.
So Don, when you look at, two of your former teams, obviously the Bills and the Packers, both in the playoffs, what are your thoughts? Could it end up being a dream scenario for you where both of them end up in the Super Bowl?
That would be cool, wouldn't it? I had that question earlier. I had an interview earlier today and that question came up. Who would you pull for? Well, you know, obviously being a fan of both teams, you know, now that my son's with the Vikings, yeah, I'm all screwed up. I mean, I grew up a Bear fan, played with the Pack, and my son plays with the Vikings. I would pull for the Bills, obviously, because, I mean, I played longer years there. They never won one. Green Bay's got four. You know, I would hope both would get there. That would be kind of cool. But I would pull for Buffalo.
And Don, when we've got another spring league that's about to start up, we got the XFL that's supposed to come online in February for guys like the guys that you're coaching, maybe they're fringe NFL potential or guys that might be able to develop that skill if they had an opportunity to continue to play if they didn't make it on an NFL roster. Is that something you think is vital? Do we need a league like that that's going to develop these kids and give them an opportunity to continue their football dream?
Absolutely. I just think it's such a great thing, with these leagues, I just wish they could, stay longer. The Alliance League season stayed, 8 weeks, was it? I don't know. It was crazy.
Right.
I would love to see the league stay for a long period of time. And I think, you can never compete with the NFL. It's never going to happen. I mean, leagues have tried it in the past and it's just never going to happen. But what they should do is just look at it as, like you said, a farm league, like baseball has, and just develop these guys and get them ready for the NFL. And I thought that was what the Alliance tried to do. But again, the NFL didn't want anything to do with it, I guess. But I don't know the ins and outs of all that, but I do love the fact that young guys can try to keep playing and make some money, make a living, and then hopefully one day get a chance at the NFL.
Don, you had an opportunity to play with two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, and Kelly and Favre, the year that you were in Green Bay. I got to believe that there were similarities and there were also things that were different about both of them. What sticks out in your mind when you think back on playing alongside both of those guys?
Yeah, I played with, some great players now. I mean, amazing Hall of Famers. I mean, probably you could argue the two greatest defensive ends in Bruce Smith and Reggie. And then obviously two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two Hall of Fame wide receivers, James Lofton and Andre Reed. I must say Jim and Brett were a lot of fun. They were guys that you just loved having teammates because they played the game for the right reasons. You could tell it wasn't about money. It was like you were in the backyard just playing football as, 10-year-old boys, and that's the way they played the game. Both tough guys, big arms. I think the only thing that would separate the two is Brett had a tendency to make plays outside the pocket, where Jim was pretty much a pocket passer. But one thing I will say about Jim Kelly, he's one of the most loyal people you'll ever meet. Anybody that's ever met Jim Kelly would instantaneously just gravitate to his personality because he's such a loyal guy. And that I appreciated that about Jim more as much as anything.
Bob, one more for Don before we let him go.
Yeah, sure, Don. I was looking at your rookie year in 89 and checking out that coaching staff in Buffalo. It was very interesting to me. Of course, Levy, the great Marv Levy, and of course, Mark Schabroda, whose people have been on the show, talk very highly of Ted. He is coming up on the fourth anniversary of his death in a couple weeks. And of course, mm-hmm. You had a guy like Nick Nicolau, who was a wide receiver coach, who has UConn roots up here and New England roots, and I was able to meet him a bunch of years back. Funny guy, but talk about that coaching staff. Obviously, they did some good things to continue to help you with your success down the road.
Oh man, I can't say enough about those guys you mentioned. You know, the one word that sticks out to me when I think about those guys, especially in Buffalo, and it all started with Coach Levy, is humility. I mean, Hall of Fame Coach Levy is just one of the most humble persons you'll ever want to meet. Nick Nekinow, I mean, without Nick, I don't think I would have played very long. I mean, he really taught me a lot. He taught me how to be a pro, you know. And then Charlie Joyner, I mean, he played 18 years. I mean, Charlie was my coach for, you know, my last 4 years there in Buffalo. And he taught me, just again, another humble human being that just taught me a lot about the game. And I teach still today. You know, I've been very fortunate to teach wideouts and for 21 years in our business and coaching. And boy, I still use a lot of things that I was taught by those guys. So I say this all the time. If I was to go back in time, where would I go? Man, I'd go back to Western New York and play for the Bills. What we had there was very unique. And, you know, it's just funny that they're going back down to Houston. Brings a lot of memories back, you know, and it'll be real close to where the Astrodome is. And that was an iconic place back in my day. And the first pass, believe it or not, the first pass that ever went my way was from Jim Kelly. It was a 63-yard bomb, went for a touchdown against Chris Dishman in that dome. So there, I have a lot of great feelings and memories of playing in Houston. So hopefully the Bills pull it out. Be a big weekend, big Saturday for the Bills, and I hope they can pull this one out.
And we've had Chris Dishman on the show several times, and Dish hasn't forgotten that play, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let me tell you the inside story of that, because I don't know if Chris has ever really told you the whole story, okay, because he's a funny guy. I like Chris. So here I am. First time I'm in the huddle, okay, it's going to be a run play. And so I'm running up the line of scrimmage, and this is the first time. It's a nationally televised game Saturday afternoon, my rookie year. And Chris, I'm running out, and Chris gets right up in my face, and he goes, "All right, white boy." He says, "Let's see it, man. I want to see some of the speed now." And he's talking trash, and I'm like, I'm taken back by it. But, you know, he's just being fun with it and everything like that, which was Chris's personality. So the next time I come running out there, I got to run this post corner. As I'm running, breaking the huddle, Kelly goes, "Beebe, if he's pressed on you, take him deep. I'm throwing too deep, man." I was like, oh, boy, here we go. I'm scared to death, you know. So sure enough, I beat him for 62 yards. I'll be honest with you. If I did that 10 more times, it wouldn't happen, 9 of them. I mean, it just happened to be everything fell into perfect because I lost the ball in the dome light. He barely just missed me tackling me going in. But the funny part about the whole story was the next time I got on the field, it was a run play again, and this time was Thurman Town was coming my way. I'm going up the line of scrimmage, and Dishman gets right up in my grill, and he backs up about 8 steps. He said, "Dang, white boy can run, man." It's pretty funny.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if he remembers that, but I do because I was scared to death of him.
I'm sure he does. We'll be sure to ask him the next time he comes back on the show.
Yeah,
Don.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing up there at Aurora University. Follow you online or on social media.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they can always go to Aurora University. You know, if they're somebody that's interested in Aurora University football, or they just go to, you know, I wrote a book about my career. It was just an amazing career. It came from nowhere, being the Bills' first pick, as you said, in the '89 draft, and then with a lot of things we do through House of Speed, they just go to donbeebe.com. I do a lot of speaking engagements across the country at a lot of different venues. They just went to donbeebe.com. They can find out all that stuff. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, Don, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show. We always enjoy getting to spend some time with you. You're fantastic. We hope you'll come back and do it again sometime real soon.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it, guys.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Happy New Year, Don. Take care. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
See ya. That's a great Don Beebe. And Bob, you know, again, a guy that did so much on the field. And now, just like we say every time we get the opportunity to talk to Willie Simmons from Florida A&M, here's a guy that is out there developing the character of young men. And I think that's the most impressive thing about Don. I mean, he's a guy that came, like he talked about for himself and his son, you know, two careers that did come from out of nowhere. from the small schools that they were at to achieve the great things that they achieved so far in the NFL. Don over his career and his son's been in the league a couple of years. But like you said, thing that I think will live forever with Don is the fact that he is out there doing great things with these kids and building men of character, something that's important to him, something that's important to Willie Simmons, and something we respect a lot.
I was thinking the same thing, Chris. You know, think about it. The guys that he's coaching, such a huge percentage are never going to taste the NFL, so he's not in it for that. It's what he does. It's what Willie does. It's what those are the guys we have the utmost respect for. And when they come out each and every time, they get across that point of how they're doing it, how their philosophy. It's not about football at all. And these guys, they should be put on a pedestal because, again, it's not even about football. It's they're trying to make the world a better place by sending good men into the world. So, again, he's a great interview, Chris, because obviously it's a great career. The guys he played with, and now it just adds another element with the coaching and his philosophy. So it's always an honor to have Don on this show.
All right, folks. On the other side of this real quick station break, Bob and I will be back. We'll be turning on our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive. Here are two more great stories about guys out there doing great things in their community. Hang with us.